is going to apply to us all. And so whether we're comfortable with it or not, it's going to apply to us all. But it does lend well. Certain spiritual gifts lend well to this more than others. And we're also going to see that being a follower of Jesus, for the follower of Jesus, suffering is kind of normal. And I want to make sure y'all heard me clear there. For the follower of Jesus, suffering is normal. And so when you hear one of those healthy, wealthy, and wise, or health, wealth, and prosperity sermons, you can rest assured that the Bible doesn't teach that, all right? For Christians have been called to count the cost of following Jesus. And so suffering is going to be something that's normal for Christians. But we can have hope in this. So when you truly seek to do the will of the Father, to stand up in the face of sin, with love, of course, when you're really trying to follow the Lord, when you're trying to spread the gospel message, when you're trying to live a lifestyle that pleases the Lord, you're going to run into trouble. You're going to run into afflictions and troubles. These are things that we're going to experience. Believers are not exempt from trouble. All right, we're going to run into that. And so those healthy, wealthy, and wise or prosperity sermons are not scriptural. So we're going to see that this morning. But affliction and troubles are not without reason, okay? We're not just going through troubles just for fun, for the sake of it, all right? So nor is it without comfort from our Heavenly Father. And so we're going to see that. So I've titled today's message, Comfort in Affliction, and basically because I couldn't come up with a better one. And so there it is. All right, so I take it that you found your spot in 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. If you would, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the words penned by the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians. And Lord, we just ask for wisdom. We pray for discernment of your Holy Scriptures here. Father, we pray that as we study through the text this morning, that we'll realize our part in this. And Lord, help us to be channels through which your Holy Spirit can comfort others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so by the time that Paul writes 2 Corinthians here, he's been dealing with the church in Corinth for quite a while. He loved the church in Corinth, but it was not without its problems, right? If you've read the Bible and if you've studied the Corinthian church, we know that they had their problems. And so they even have a term coined after them. It's called to Corinthianize, and it means to live in a promiscuous lifestyle. And so their name follows them. And even today, you don't really see any churches named after the church in Corinth. All right, nobody kind of wants to be named after that church. So you don't see that too much. And so they did have their issues. And Paul has already dealt with immorality in the church, as well as divisions within the congregation. And so he had already sent Timothy to check on them. And he had gotten word back that there were some false apostles there teaching a false gospel. And in the meantime, while they were doing this, they were even attacking Paul and saying that that he was not a true apostle and that his gospel was false. And so Paul himself goes to Corinth. He happened to be in Ephesus at the time, but he goes to Corinth, and the visit doesn't go well. And, okay, they even the false apostles there that they have their heels dug in. They're not going anywhere. They're there, and so and the church doesn't really back Paul, and they even attack him openly, his apostleship and his doctrine. And so he returns to Ephesus, where he was stationed. There's kind of a revival going on there in Ephesus, and so. But while he was there, he writes this letter known as the Severe Letter. We don't have it anymore. It's kind of been lost in antiquity. But we know that he did write this letter through the other scriptures. And so he sends this letter back to Corinth by Titus. And he just can't stand to wait on it. He can't wait for the response to come back. And so he goes and meets Titus in Macedonia. He kind of meets him halfway, and there's good news. Titus has got good news to report that the Corinthian church has, most of them, the majority of the congregation, has repented, has accepted Paul and his gospel, and not the false apostles and the false gospel. And so Paul writes 2 Corinthians to express his joy in their repentance, and also to confront the issues that were probably going to come back, because not everybody went back to Paul. And so at the beginning of the epistle of 2 Corinthians, he reminds them that suffering for the truth of Jesus, that's the true gospel, not that false one by the false apostles, but suffering for Jesus, which is probably going to happen if they follow Paul again, that this is normal, okay? And that they can take it from him and in his experience that Paul says is firmly grounded in afflictions. They can take it from him that they're going to run into trouble, all right? But where there's trouble, there is also comfort. And Paul begins teaching about that. And so as we look to 2 Corinthians about afflictions and about the comfort that comes with those afflictions, I want to begin where Paul began, and that is with the Father. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Okay, so Paul begins by praising God for who he is. And here in verse 3, he lists three reasons to praise God. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." And so our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we are saved, has a Father in heaven, right? And when he taught his disciples to pray, that's how he taught them to pray, right? Our Father, which art in heaven. Okay, so our Lord Jesus Christ has a Father in heaven. And we know this. We've memorized, what's the most famous verse in the Bible? Somebody tell me. John 3:16, right? Okay, here we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." All right, most kids know that. Most church kids know that. And we've memorized that. And I think we've said it so much and memorized it so much, maybe we've lost what it really means. So now hang with me for a minute here now. God loved us so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I have three sons, and no, I'm not going to give one of them up, so don't worry about that. But there's been times I thought about it. No. I'm just kidding. But imagine if I were to give up one of my children for you. I were to sacrifice one of my children for you. A child who I dearly love, I gave him up for you, so you wouldn't have to be condemned. But then you reject it. What kind of mercy is going to be left for you after that? There's not going to be any, is there? There's going to be no mercy left for you. He gave up his son. This is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Paul says that this is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. And we got to remember that Jesus suffered much, right? We're talking about suffering and affliction and comfort. He suffered much, right? At the hand of sinners. He suffered a lot, even death. And he did this for our comfort, right? So we wouldn't have to be condemned. And so Paul begins there by saying that he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says that he's the Father of mercies. And we can see that God fully demonstrates his mercy in Jesus Christ, because the definition of mercy is not getting what you deserve. And so what we deserve is not that, all right? What we deserve is to go to hell is what we deserve. And so he is the Father of mercies. And then he says he's the God of all comfort. And this is where we're going to be focusing our attention this morning, is the God of all comfort. He is the source of all comfort. All right, so blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Comfort is really the result of affliction, right? It's kind of a byproduct. If you don't have affliction, you don't need to be comforted, right? And so comfort, we'll see, is kind of the byproduct of affliction. And Paul could speak about comforting others in affliction, because as he was writing these words, he's pulling from his experience of being afflicted. He'd been through his share of sufferings. If you've read the Bible, you know that. And so mostly most of his sufferings were for the cause of Christ. And you can read about later in 2 Corinthians here, you can read that he was beaten, stoned, robbed, shipwrecked, in prison, and the list goes on. And so he learned in these afflictions to glean his comfort from God the Father. And he also learned that enabled him. When he gleaned his comfort from God the Father, it enabled him to comfort those around him as they were going through the same sufferings. And so comfort is the byproduct of affliction. All right? So when we have our afflictions, they're not for no reason. All right? And so I read this poem online as I was studying this, and it didn't say who it was by, but I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it. It goes like this: comfort me, Lord, and pay my bills. Comfort me, Lord, cure my ills. Comfort me, Lord, remove my fears. Comfort me, Lord, dry my tears. Comfort me, Lord, increase my wealth. Comfort me, Lord, preserve my health. Comfort me, Lord, plead my case. Comfort me, Lord, enlarge my place. Comfort me, Lord, tell me why. Comfort me, Lord, set me on high. Comfort me, Lord, do what I say. Comfort me, Lord, do it today. The Spirit listened as I uttered my mind. He said not a word as I pleaded and pined. And then he spoke in the language of conviction, saying, comfort isn't comfort in the absence of affliction. And so I thought that was pretty well worded, is that if we have no affliction, then there's no need for comfort. And we're going to see how this plays in a little bit later in what Paul is saying here. If we never had problems, we wouldn't need any comfort, right? If we could handle it all on our own, we wouldn't need any help. And so, but this begs the question, why, if comfort is the result of affliction, you know, why must all of this take place in the first place? Wouldn't we be better off if none of this had happened? And so if we didn't have afflictions, we wouldn't need the comfort, right? That's the logically thinking. So why is any of this happening in the first place? Well, we got this little problem called sin. it's in the world, and we can't get away from it. And so even if it didn't produce affliction, it would produce pride. And so Paul goes on to talk about this a little bit, but I also found a quote from Warren Wiersbe. He's a famous commentator. It says that God balances our lives by giving us enough blessings to keep us happy and enough burdens to keep us humble. If all we had were blessings in our hands, we'd fall right over, because the Lord balances. So the Lord balances the blessings in our hands with burdens on our backs. That helps to keep us steady. And as we yield to Him, He can even turn the burdens into blessings. All right, but though Warren Wiersbe, you know, brilliantly worded this in order to help us add light to comfort and affliction, the Apostle Paul had it figured out a long time ago. All right, so he gave a number of reasons why he could brag about himself, but then why he will not. And he added this later in 2 Corinthians. He said, "Even though I have received much wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me." Right? "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." All right, I want you to look at it. This is it right here. This is what we're getting to. Look at the end of verse 9 here. "So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." All right? Comfort is necessary because of affliction, but our comfort's not the end, right? It's not, "I'm comfortable, thank you, Lord," the end. No. All right? Our comfort is not the end. All right? We have afflictions, and comfort is a byproduct of that, but it's not the end. We're not supposed to be the end. We're supposed to be a channel and through which this comfort goes. Our comfort is not the end. All right, let's look at verse 4 back of the scripture we read today. "Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." It's not about us. It's not all about us. We have these afflictions and we're comforted, but that should not be the end of the story, right? There's a whole story going on here. And we're comforted, we're better. No, that's not the end. God intends for believers to be a channel in which through comfort flows. You know, as we are comforted, we should comfort other people, right? We have these experiences in our life for a reason. We're there to comfort other people. And when you get, you know, anyway, all born-again believers should have the Holy Spirit. If you're really born again, you have the Holy Spirit within you, who is what? The comforter, right? And so the Greek word for comfort here comes from that word, which means to come alongside and to help. And we're to come alongside and to help them. And the Apostle John, in the Gospel of John, says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever, as the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you." All right, so if you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit. That's this helper living within you. It's the same word. John used the same word as Paul, this helper. We're to come alongside this comforter. That's the King James Version, the comforter. We're to come alongside people and comfort them and help them. We're supposed to be a channel in which through this comfort comes. We're not supposed to absorb it and that be the end of the line. Comfort, because comfort comes from God, all right? If you're born again, you're meant to be a tool for God, a channel of the Holy Spirit. Paul, back in verses 6 and 7, says, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of sufferings, of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort." So he gets it. Paul gets it. And then he goes on to say that he and Timothy were to the point of death, right? That they even, you know, wish they were dead pretty much. But God had delivered them. All right? God brought them out of that. And Paul's convinced that he was delivered for a reason. Not just to be delivered, but for a reason. And that's to comfort other people. And that's what he's saying here. And he says, and he goes on to say how intercessory prayer has a part in it. If you remember, if you got your Bibles open, look at the original text we read. He said intercessory prayer has a part of this. And so we're meant to be a channel in which through God's comfort flows. And we're even to pray and pray for this stuff. And so it has a place in there. And I remember back down in Donaldsonville, there's a preacher down there at a little church down there. It wasn't a church we went to, but Anna is going to know who I'm talking about. Anytime you run into this guy, you run into him in the grocery store or on the sidewalk or wherever, he's going to make you stop right there and pray for you right there in the middle of the grocery store. You got to bow your head and everything. I mean, it'd be weird just to walk away. He's going to stop you right there and pray. Let me pray for you, brother, before you can say anything. And he goes right out loud praying for you. And if you know him, you know that's coming, so you might as well get used to it. But intercessory prayer has a place in comforting others. And I remember every time he would do that, at first I would think, man, there's, you know, there's Brother Johnny. And so, but when he would get done, I would feel encouraged by it. I'm going to be honest with you, I would feel comforted by his words and the fact that he would first thing immediately do that. And so I felt comforted by that. And so comfort comes from God through the Holy Spirit. And so those with the spiritual gift of encouragement may find this easier to do than others without that spiritual gift. But again, we're not exempt from this no matter who we are. All right? So it's like evangelism. We all have to do it. And, you know, after all, we all have a story, right? We all have a story of, especially, you know, if we're saved, we have a story of who we were, our salvation experience, and who we are now. And so we can use these things to comfort others because we can get in there with them, especially if we know what they're going through. We can say, man, I know what you're going through. We can wrap our arms around them. We can cry with them. You know, even if we don't know what they're going through, we can get in there with them and comfort them. All right? So we're not exempt from this. As believers, we're meant to be a channel through which comfort comes from. All right, now, this past Friday, I met a gentleman who, in July, next month, will be 1 year that he is clean from drugs. He was a drug addict, and he admitted it. And so he said that next month will be 1 year that he's clean from it. And so I asked him, we talked about work and things like that, and I asked him about his work. And he said he told me he was in school right now to be a peer counselor for drug addicts who are trying to be rehabilitated. And I thought, man, that really goes, I'm going to have to use that because I had already prepared for this. And so that goes in very well with what I'm going to be talking about. He knows what they've been through, right? Who better to counsel these men than somebody who's been through that already, who knows the struggles that they're dealing with, who knows the pain and the hardship that they're dealing with. And y'all might say, well, that's not persecution for Jesus. But the scripture states that who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so if you're a born-again believer, your life experiences, whether good or bad, can be used as a tool. You can get in the coffin, so to speak, with these folks. When they're going through these valleys, you can get in there with them and say, you know what, I know what you're going through. I know that that's hard, but let me tell you, we have hope. We have a God. We have a comforter who can take care of that. And so even if you don't know what they're going through, sometimes if you don't know what they're going through and can't sympathize with that or empathize, rather, with that, then it's better not to say anything. But you can hug them. You can wrap your arms around them. You can cry with them. You can pray for them. And the comforter can be used through you even in that situation. And so if you're saved, you have the comforter living within you, and you're supposed to be a tool for the Lord to use. And Paul gets this, and so he's telling this to these Corinthian people. He said, look, you repented, all right? Titus told me you repented and come back to the true gospel. But be aware, there's going to be problems, all right? You're going to have trouble. If you follow this true gospel of Jesus, if you're trying to live for Jesus, you're going to have trouble. But we have a comforter. It's not without a reason. And so we know that the Lord can provide comfort. When I was a game warden down in South Georgia, there's a big power dam down there on Lake Seminole. It's Jim Woodruff Power Dam. It's a hydroelectric dam. It generates power. And Lake Seminole, the watershed there is big. It's 36,000 acres. And so imagine all that water pushing on this dam. It's like 70, almost 80 feet tall, I think. You can imagine that the tension that thing has to hold back. You know, right? There's got to be a lot of pressure. I'm not an engineer, but there's got to be a lot of pressure up against that thing. And so then when it gets to a certain level, they open the gates and generate electricity. And the pressure releases a little bit off of it. And so, you know, we're like that, right? Christians are like that. This tension builds up on us. It builds up and builds up. And then when we're comforted, that energy's got to go somewhere, right? It's meant to be distributed out to others. It's meant to channel through us to others. And we're not meant to store it all up. It's meant to be used as a tool. As believers, we're supposed to do that. And in Revelation 21, the Apostle John recorded, I don't have it on the slide here, but I'll read it for you. It's Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Listen, church, there's coming a day when there's not going to be any more affliction. There's not going to be any more. God himself will wipe away that final tear. But until God does that, you know, he's pouring out his love and his comfort through us. We're the tool in which he uses, in which his Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, we're supposed to be used as a tool to comfort others as part of a Christian duty, just like spreading the gospel message. We're not exempt from either one of these things. And so the truth is that we're sinners, right? The truth is that we're sinners, and that God sent his Son. We read about that a little bit earlier. We talked about that. God sent his Son, whose blood covers that, so that we can be saved. And as a result of that, we receive the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And so we're supposed to use this as a tool. And perhaps you haven't been doing that. I don't know. Perhaps you haven't been doing that. Maybe you've, maybe your spiritual gift is not encouragement. Maybe your personality type is that you're an introvert. That doesn't exclude you. You have no excuse for not comforting other people. All right. So maybe you should pray about how you can be used this morning to do that. All right. Or if you haven't ever placed your faith in Christ, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to put it that bluntly. If you've never placed your faith in Christ, you do not have the Comforter within you. And so maybe, I mean, that can be settled today. You don't have to leave here today without doing that. And I'll be glad to talk with you about that. The truth is that we are sinners. And God gave up his Son. And if we reject that, then then there's no more mercy. There's going to be no more mercy for you, all right? And so I want you to think about it that way. If you have children, think about it that way. Would you have mercy on anybody that rejected your son dying for him? And so anyway, maybe you need some comfort. Maybe you're hurting today and you need some comfort. And the Lord can comfort you. We broken people might not be able to if we're not doing our job correctly. But the Lord can comfort you. I promise you that. Just take it from Paul. The Lord is the author of comfort. He is where comfort comes from. He's where all comfort comes from, the scripture says. He is the comforter. You can come to the Father. I know the altar is going to be open. So whatever, if you need to make a decision for Christ today, or if you need comfort, or if you need to pray about how you can be used as a comforter, just remember that He comforts us in our affliction so that we'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort. And so let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we thank You for Jesus. Thank You for sending Your Son. I couldn't do it, Lord. Help those who have not placed their faith. Help them to have the courage to do that, Lord, to realize that if they reject that, then there's going to be no mercy, nothing but condemnation. Father, thank You for Your Spirit comforting us through our difficult times. Thank You for the people who realize that, people like Paul who realize that the afflictions we go through, well, they're because of sin, but the comfort we glean from that, from You, Lord, it needs to be passed along. It needs to be channeled through us. It needs to be given to others who are in need of that comfort, who need to know You, who need to feel Your love. Father, help us to do that. Help us to realize that. Don't let us harbor that, Father. Don't let us store it up. It needs to be passed along. Lord, I pray that You'll give us wisdom, discernment. If there's anybody here that don't know You, Lord, God, give them the courage to make that step, Father, to put their trust in Your Son. Thank You for that wonderful gift. Scripture says it's a free gift of God. Lord, just like any gift, you can choose to accept it or you can reject it. Father, give them courage to accept it. Whatever your decision, congregation, Lord, I pray that You'll help them. Amen.